Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Beautiful verse, one of my favorite ones, and I try to remember it every single day. This morning, my family and I are extremely happy to be here. It's been a long time coming. We've been packing. We've been throwing stuff in a truck. We've been driving across country. We finally made it. A bunch of you helped us unpack and throw everything in our house. And now we're unpacking and building things and putting it all together. But we're just so happy and thankful to be here with you. You are our new family that we are still getting to know, still learning to know more about you and loving you and recognizing that in Christ Jesus, we are certainly blessed with a beautiful family. But in Acts chapter 2, I've got to say I've had a few discussions with Andy about passion, energy, and enthusiasm. And every time he mentioned it to me, I kept thinking, there's a place in Scripture where I see energy, passion, and enthusiasm. And it's right here at the end of Acts chapter 2. Peter has just preached really the first sermon since Jesus has left. Jesus gave a bunch of lessons before, but this is it. This is the church's beginning. And now you have 3,000 souls who have obeyed the gospel. But is that it? Is it done right then and there? It's not. We see this energy, this passion that develops within them. And I like the word that Luke uses here in verse 42. He says they were continually devoting themselves. If we're going to have this energy and this passion and all that bottled up, how are we going to grow with it? We have to be devoted. It should give birth to devotion. And first off, it should give birth to devotion to His Word. You notice here it says in verse 42 that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. But we got to remember that what did they have for Scripture? They had the Old Testament, right? That's what they could go to. That's what they could read. But now here are the apostles preaching some things that they haven't quite heard before. Yeah, we know about the Messiah. We've read about the Christ, but this is new. And they have to hear these words. And just think about it. As a new Christian right here in this moment in time, in Acts chapter 2, if they missed a meeting, if they missed a worship time or they missed a time when Christians were gathering and hearing a message from the apostles, well, they were missing a lot, right? I mean, they were missing this deliverance of God's Word that they needed to be growing. And we need the same thing today. You know, we're not needing to go and wait for the apostles to preach and teach, but we've got it all written down for us right here. We have the greatest treasure right here. It's all of God's words that He said we needed. That we need for salvation. That we need to pertaining to life and to godliness. The apostles gave it all to us through the Holy Spirit. It's inspired. It's without error. And without it, we wouldn't have heard the gospel. Without the word, we have nothing, right? We're just bumps on a log floating through life. But now we have purpose. And there's a passion in the fact that this Jesus that Peter just talked about in Acts chapter 2, He is Lord, He is Savior, He is the Messiah, and He is the Christ. And these people chose to devote their lives to Him. And this is a whole new decision for their families. I know today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. But think about this. All the men, all the fathers right here in Acts chapter 2 that obeyed the gospel, what did they just do? They took a whole new path for their family, right? They're leading their family in a whole new direction. They were Jews before. They would go and they would make their sacrifices. They'd go to the temple. They'd celebrate and go to the Day of Atonement. They just had the Day of Pentecost and all these things that have been going on. And that's what they were used to. And now they're saying, we're going to follow the teachings of Jesus. We're going to follow these apostles. It's a whole new thing for them. And think about you fathers today. You have to be setting an example for your children, for your wife. And one of the best ways to do that is to be devoted to His Word, to make sure that you are in His Word, that you allow it to change you, that you allow it to make you who you want to be, who God wants you to be. But secondly, notice He says that they were devoted to fellowship. Now hopefully you caught this when Robin was reading. Basically, verses 43 through 47 is what? A ton of fellowship, right? They are together time and time and time again. Notice, starting in verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Fellowship is the number two thing that they were devoted to. If we're going to see the success that we want to see here in Lake Norman, it's going to be because we're devoted to His Word. And it's going to be because we're devoted to one another. We are fellowshipping with one another every opportunity we get. And that's not just the Sunday morning, the Sunday night, the Wednesday night things. That's every opportunity and chance we have. We need to be going. We need to be visiting. We need to be in each other's homes. Notice what they're doing. They're going house to house. They're breaking bread together. They're eating together, sharing meals. Notice what else they're doing. And they're not just fellowshipping in the sense that they're spending time with one another, but what else are they sharing? Selling possessions, and they're giving to those who are in need. Now you got to think, many of the Jews at this time had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost and for the celebration that was going on. And some of them decided to obey the gospel. And they need to hear the apostles' teachings, and so they want to stay. But they didn't plan to come to Jerusalem for Pentecost and then to stay for weeks on end after that. This is something they have a need. And their brothers and sisters in Christ are sharing with them and sharing food and money and whatever they need to help these people while they're staying to hear the apostles' teaching, to spend time with their new brothers and sisters in Christ, to do everything they need at this moment because the church has just begun. If the church is going to grow and to be strong here, the word is important, but we have to know each other. We have to love each other. We often focus on the phrase, love one another, right? It's repeated a lot of times in Scripture. What we see right here is Christians loving one another. That's what we see. And that's what we need to be doing today. Loving one another, fellowshipping with one another, being with one another every opportunity that we have. Then notice back up in verse 42, it says that they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, if you've been paying attention, you've probably noticed that breaking bread is also mentioned in verse 46. And it seems like there's two different things happening in these verses. In verse 46, it looks like they're breaking bread, going house to house, fellowshipping with one another in that sense, and having meals together. In verse 42, it seems like the breaking of bread there has more to do with the Lord's Supper, something that we just recently took part in. Breaking bread together, eating that bread, which represents the body of Jesus. We took the fruit of the vine, which represents His blood. Why is it important to be devoted to the breaking of bread, to the Lord's Supper? I know in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we see Paul and the Christians there do it on the first day of the week. And that's our example, to do it on the first day of the week. And we do it every first day of the week because of that. But what's so important about the Lord's Supper. Why are they so devoted to it? There is so much that goes on with the Lord's Supper. We are reminded of a lot of different things. We're reminded of the fact that we are sinners, that we've made our mistakes, that we've done things we shouldn't have done, and that it's because of this blood that Jesus said that I can have forgiveness. I can remember the fact that He sacrificed His body. He went up on that cross for me. That's what that bread is reminding me of. He paid a debt that I could never pay. He reconciled us to our God. We had separated ourselves by sin, and He reconciled us. Well, we're also remembering the fact that in the future, Jesus is coming. And we don't know when that is, right? But it's this constant reminder that He's coming. He's coming back, and we're looking forward to that. We don't know when it is, but I'm excited for that moment. And the Lord's Supper reminds me of that. He gave His body, He gave His blood, but He was resurrected. And I'm looking forward to a resurrection. The Lord's Supper is something that every week we partake. It should remind us of something new. Something that we hadn't been thinking of the previous week. And we should hold on to that. Not everything we do is going to be brand new, is it? We like new things. But a lot of times, the people that we are, we just simply need to be reminded. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us. And then fourth, you have the fact that He says that they were continually devoted to prayer. I'm looking forward to great things happening here at the Lake Norman Church of Christ. I want to see great things happen. I hope that's what you want to see. I want to see us grow, not only in number, but spiritually, that we can grow to be mature, that we can help others grow. One of the ways we're going to see these things accomplished is by prayer. I know that the theme for this year is go and do likewise. That's what I've noticed on the website. Jesus was one who was prayerful. If you're going to do like Him, then you got to do prayer. Whenever Jesus had an important moment coming up, like when He was choosing His disciples who were going to follow Him, the apostles, before He did, He prayed. There are moments where He was certainly stressed, when He had a lot of emotional baggage, when He had a lot of things happening. For instance, when His cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded. There are moments in His life where He needed to get away and He needed to go to the Father in prayer. One of the moments that always sticks out to me with His prayers is when He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's praying. And He's asking for this cup of suffering to be taken away. That's His desire in that prayer. Please let it be taken away. But then He also goes on to say, but if not, let Your will be done. He's focused on God's will. But as He's looking forward to the cross, as He's looking forward to what's happening next in His life, what He's about to do, He's going to His Father and He's saying, by chance, can this not happen? I don't know if this is what I'm about to do. So you see Him go through that moment. But do you know what happens afterwards? After He's in the garden and He prays that prayer multiple times, once He's done and He said, Your will be done, you don't see Him waver anymore, do you? You don't see Him questioning going to the cross. You don't see Him saying, man, I'm just going to go ahead and call 10,000 angels and set me free from this. You don't see that at all. When He goes before the chief priest, when He goes before Pilate, there is a peace and there is a confidence in Jesus. And I am convinced that he has that because of the prayers that he prayed in Gethsemane. Once he prayed that, he finally made that decision and understood this is God's will. And I'm going through with it all the way. There was no more, God, by chance, could you take this away? It was, I'm going. And I'm going to do this. And then as he's on that cross, he says what? It is finished. He did what he came to do. Jesus made it through that ministry and his life because of prayer. Prayer was a huge part of how he lived his life and how he stayed devoted to God and to his will. If we are going to see great things happen here, it's going to be because we are a prayerful people. We go before our Father and we ask him for the blessings. We ask him for the opportunities. And we don't shy away from it. We ask for it and we go through with it. And we follow him all the way. These Christians began their walk devoted to the Word of God, devoted to one another, sharing and having all things in common, to the breaking of bread, to the Lord's Supper, recognizing how important that is to their walk. And they were devoted to prayer. And I believe verse 47 is happening because of what they were doing in verse 42. Verse 47 says, the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Notice also in verse 47 that as they were praising God, what else? They were having favor with all the people. There were blessings happening time and time again, day by day. And it was because of their energy, their passion, their enthusiasm, and their devotion to the Word of God, to fellowshipping, to the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. If we want to see great things happen here, we have to do the same. I know it seems simple, right? Just go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Look at what they did. A lot of the things in Scripture are simple. The problem is, we have to do it, right? We just have to start doing it. So I'm challenging you this morning. Maybe you can't start doing everything as devoted as you want to. But pick at least one of these things this week, and maybe next week pick another thing. But start with either the Word of God, start with prayer. And we already took the Lord's Supper today, so maybe focus on that for next week. But think about one of these things that you can really focus on this week. How you can make sure that you are truly devoted to the Word or to the prayer, to fellowship, or to the Lord's Supper. Men, today is Father's Day. I read a sign just a little, it must have been last week, and it said, any man can be a father. In the sense that, you know, basically any guy can have a child. But it takes a special person to be a dad. And you see that there's a relationship that's formed within that. Make sure that you're taking advantage of the time that you have with your children, forming a strong bond, a relationship, but also making sure that that bond and that relationship is formed in Christ Jesus. That they understand that God is the biggest part of your life, and that they should have God as the biggest part of their life as well. If they see your devotion, I promise you, It's going to happen. And they're going to want to do that too. This morning, if there's anyone here that understands that Jesus is the Son of God, you want to become a part of His church, a part of His kingdom. It's not something that happens by a vote. It's not something that we add you to. Notice in verse 47, it says, the Lord was adding to their number day by day. It's through your obedience to the gospel, to the good news, that Jesus died and sacrificed His blood, His body for you, that you have the opportunity to receive the forgiveness of sins. And if you're ready to do that today through baptism, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.